Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Let's Talk About It. This evening, I have a special edition. We got the Dynamic Trio back together. Ladies, are you with me?
Yep,
I'm here.
I like it, y'all. Who's doing it? Chat, you do it first. You tell them who we are, what we're doing, and what the episode is. And then me, Mom, let's just pray them in.
Well, we want to thank each and everybody for joining. We want to thank each and every one of you for joining in with us today. We bless and praise God as we welcome you to Let's Talk About It. This evening on the phone lines is myself, Pastor Toy. We have Mother Janice Hudson with us, and we also have Sister Adrian Misunderstanding Allen with us. I'm just excited to be here, so we want to let you know, to let your people know, that we are broadcasting live now on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, and they can call in if they would like, 619-527-6091. We would love to hear from everyone. We would love to talk with everyone. It's a lot going on all around this world. So this is your opportunity to join in and let's talk about it. So Mother Janice, lead us to the throne of glory.
Yes, yes, praise the Lord, everybody. Our Father, which art in heaven, I come to you, Lord, as humble as thou know how, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, let our voices on these airways tonight get through to someone, Lord Jesus. Lord, Father God, please allow our words and our conversations to be of encouragement to someone out there on airways of tonight, Lord Jesus. And allow our conversation as well as our words to bring someone else on the throne, to bring someone else to be saved, sanctified, and glorified. And I just want to thank you, Father God, for just loving me so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much that you accepted to die and rise again in my and your name, Jesus, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank you for everything. It is in your mighty name that I do pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was about to say, it's been a minute, y'all. I know, there's just some things that we should just, like, take right back, but y'all go on, because it's a whole lot of stuff. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. What you want to go with first, though? Make sure that everybody's registered to vote. Like, when should we share that right off the bat? Make sure you're in this thing.
I really believe with all of the conversation that's going around right now about what's going on in the White House, what's going on in the government, y'all know my philosophy is step up or shut up. And the way you step up is go vote. And if you don't vote, you can't complain about nothing that's going on. You can't complain about how crazy our current dictator in chief is. If you don't get out there and vote to get him out of office, the blessing is we might say sometimes because of the way he acts, looking at the fruit he's dropping from his tree, we might refer to him as the dictator or, you know, the embarrassment, or some people just call him number 45. I've done that for the first 3 years of his office. Whatever. However it is that you might think about them, if you don't go vote, you can't complain about them. You are literally a part of the problem if you don't think your vote counts at this point. I can't say it no better. For those of you that go, I don't get caught up in politics because God's word tells me, let me tell you what God's word says. God's word says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God.
What is
God? Let's put your souls out there and vote. That's all
and,
I gotta say
about it. That's basically it, Pastor. You know, and everyone that thinks that they vote don't count, your vote do count. And if you don't vote, then guess what? Your vote didn't count. So come on, people, let's get it together and do what thus said the Lord. Get Satan out of here. Move on.
And even going from there, when you look at everything that's going on, you know one of the reasons I'm at half the vote? I keep listening and looking at all of the statues that they took down. They took down Columbus. They took down General Lee. They took down somebody else. You know, all those that was part and played major parts in the Civil War that was fighting to keep us enslaved and all of that. I look at all of the statues they took down when we first went into an uproar about us, about people of color being shot down unarmed and getting shot down, surrendering and getting shot down, following the instructions and still getting beat up or shot down. So they took down all these statues. They started putting up Black Lives Matters on the sports stadiums and on the uniform, on television. They started putting up all these, you know, A&E, Black Lives Matters, BET, we support Black Lives. The USA, we support Black Lives. Like, you're putting up all of these Black Lives Matters things, and it's supposed to make us feel better. But you know what hasn't stopped? We haven't stopped getting killed in the middle of the street.
Amen.
We haven't stopped getting shot at. We haven't stopped being beaten up in the middle of the street as we're following the instructions, as we're following the police officer's commands. They teach your children to follow the officer's instructions. Well, even the people following their instructions are getting shot down in the street. That's why we got to vote. We can't play. We can't go for the okie doke. You know, we can't go back to when we were children and we were crying because we wanted Mr. Softy ice cream and our parents said, no, we got ice cream in the house. In that situation, it was ice cream. Ice cream is ice cream. In this situation, it's not the same thing.
Right.
Taking down statues, changing logos does not stop us from getting killed in the street. And I'm going to go one deeper, not just by cops. Everybody want to talk about the Willie Mensch mentality, so then we got to let it go because we killing each other in the street.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said go ahead. Tell the truth, Pastor. She ain't the devil. Tell him.
It's mind-boggling to me. I think although there's more, this one happened a couple of weeks ago, this one is hurting my heart the most because I have an autistic grandson. The woman called 911 looking for crisis response. This wasn't here in Pennsylvania. This was in another state. The cops came out. They told her to step out the house. They went in the house. She was looking for crisis response. Her autistic 13-year-old child was having a meltdown. At no time when she called the police did she think they was going to shoot up her child in the house.
Wow.
But they're not talking about that.
Wow.
They're not saying too much about that. it's a problem.
I'm listening to y'all, right? And I'm thinking, wow, it's beyond the problem, because you know what's even worse of a problem? The way that it's being perceived to the rest of the world, who is not actually being actually involved in it, you know what I mean? That it's actually being hip to it right now, because there's people that are just learning about different things that are going on, and because of all of the social injustice and stuff, and what people, what African American men really, and now women even, are really, really going mm-hmm. through, and to see, to hear the world have to go through what, I shouldn't say to hear the world have to go through, but I'm glad to know that the world is actually getting able to hear the voices of what is really going on. Because the problem is, we want the Black Lives to Matter in our neighborhoods, right? But at the same time, I believe that if you poll the neighborhood is so fed up with, you know, how things have been going. So, you know, how I like to say they had that button where it's like there's no more holds. And I think, like, after George Floyd, it was like the button was hit. You understand? In a lot of different places. And the anger has gone to the point where now it almost seems like the stuff that we're dealing with in our street is senseless. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because now they have no recreation. You know what I mean? They've shut down the things that would have been keeping them occupied, like the baseball teams and the football teams and the basketball teams that would be keeping some of our younger children.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because right now we're losing so many of the younger children to senselessness. It's like if we were doing other things and not shutting down libraries, you know, but opening up community centers and different groups. I just believe that the arts is lost. I really do. I think that if we put these guns and stuff and this violence on stage, they'll see it in a different light. That's just not, you know what I mean? I don't know what to do because I'm like chat with this. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm
sorry, Adrian. But, you know, that's a great possibility, too, you know. But and even in it all, you know, we have a different generation, and it's the untaught generation. And with this generation is basically they don't hear anything. They don't hear anything. So, like, back in the day, well, not so far back in the day, I'll say about a century, you know, everybody was basically saying, okay, oh, you need a hug, or this one need a hug, and that one need a hug. And, you know, and that literally worked with some people, you know, even some children, because you had the children, I mean, not a century, a decade, you know, even with some children, when you gave those children hugs, those children, like, melted, you know. So let what I'm saying now is, what about our voices? What about us being so fed up and tired of the bull crap that's going on? Because it takes us, it doesn't even take the generation today. It takes the generation before to get it back together. Because like I said in so many episodes ago, you know, when we have teenagers having babies, the teenagers only go by what they felt as though what was done wrong to them. They don't have any type of understanding of what they done was so wrong. Only understanding that they have is, this was done to me, so this is what I'm going to do to somebody. They're basically like a horse with blinders. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're constantly talking and talking and talking and talking, you know, and I'm still going back in the day, you know, it took I'll say a nation. And, you know, and when they came up with the, what are they, the Black Panthers, you know, and they marched all over, you know, if we can get some type of unity in that way, shape, or form, you know, without the violence, then we can make something happen, you know. But we just got to go back and just, like, I don't know, just try to educate this younger generation on what's what, you know, and let them open their eyes to you're killing each other out here in the street, you know, and you're giving Donald Trump just what he wants, okay? It has been so black on black crimes in the past week. It's pathetic.
Mm-hmm. And guess what, guys? You know, we stream from Philadelphia, and tonight mm-hmm. I'm in Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know that crime is high everywhere. I watched the same news that they had 48 people die this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, or this week or whatever. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. but my thing is we're so fixated on the death of things. I want
right.
to live. You know, even in the coronavirus right now, they got us looking so far ahead on, we know that the people are going to die. We're not even going to say mm-hmm. that what's going to happen is we're going to speak life over the people. We're going to tell you that y'all are dying. I understand what they're saying, and I understand
mm-hmm.
what they're trying to say. But at the end of the mm-hmm. day, if our words mean something, you know, we should speak life, even to the point, like,
amen.
I don't want to go there yet, because I wanted to ask a question, because Rima, you said something that was really, really good. And I've been asking people this question because I've been noticing that, you know, now we have, like, this whole the hot girl thing going on. But if you look, they're not really the millennials. They're a little bit younger than the millennials, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like the same, you understand? So I understand what you're saying. But now it's like, I said this before, they look at us as if, like the 40 and 30-year-olds or whatever, they look at us and say, oh, the way you did this thing, I don't want to do this thing. I don't like how you love
right.
this guy or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so they're looking at mm. everything that they see us do as, like, what they've done, either whether they lived it or if it's a formulated opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like, mm-hmm. like, because I ask questions and now that I'm very vocal, you know, I'm out there and I'm talking. And I'm sure that there's somebody out there that might even be listening that does this and encounters the same thing. It's almost as if, like, I hear you, but I see who you are, what you're doing, or whatever. And because, you know, status is such a major thing, you know, like life. Like, I don't want to listen to you unless you have over 2,000 likes. What?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, if you see the person in real life and you're dealing with the person in real life, you should deal with the person in real life. Like, we're not even, you know what I mean? We don't even deal with real life. We say, well, what's your page? And then when we realize that your page is nothing, then we don't even deal with you because you're nothing. I mean, you can look at it in a couple of ways. You say,
yeah.
Okay, get your page up. But, of course, like we said, there's something that we made a promise for. I know I made this promise a long time ago, especially coming off of the nation. You know, I made a promise to myself. It ain't too much that I am going to do, and I'm definitely not going to do it just for the life. Not going to beat you up, not going to show something, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean, that's demeaning to me or my people
right.
or anything of that manner for you to like. Because when people speak on life and, you know, life, they don't want it. But let me talk about who did what to who and it goes viral.
Yeah.
When is that going to stop?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like the older people are doing it too because now everybody,
mm-hmm.
right? But it was just it's been bothering me because I get the people that turn around and look at me and be like, well, okay, I understand, but what's up with your numbers? Where do your numbers lie? Mm-hmm. You know, but
yeah. Well, see, that's the one of the first things we have to fix. Like, this generation feels like they have to be liked by everybody.
Right.
Everything they do has to be liked. Everything they say has to be liked. And that's not true.
Right.
Like, you're not going, number one, everybody on your social media page that say they like you, everybody that's saying they like you and following you are not following you because they like what they're saying. They're waiting for you to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it like my grandfather used to say. Everybody that hugs you not hugging you because they love you.
Well,
some folks hug you to see where to put the knife at in your back.
What? Hello?
Where's your weak spot? The sad part is it has gotten to the point where it's nothing but weak spot.
Right.
Children don't fight anymore. They go shoot each other. I watched a show the other day called Court Cam.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's the videotape of what's going on in different courtrooms across America. And what I realized was, whether they be black, white, Hispanic, watching all of these people get sentenced to life in prison for different crimes they committed. But the oldest person I saw that got a life sentence was in their 20s. Do you know how much life you have to live when you're in your 20s? Yes.
Wow.
It's so crazy. Do we realize that it's not like a Grand Theft Auto, that game that they play where they go beat up the people and steal their cars and run over the people and steal money from people? You know, in the game, the people get up. You don't
and
get up.
And, that's right. And that's
so,
basically what they probably think.
Right. On Fortnite, if you get killed, you get a reset button and you can jump back into the battle. You can't get a reset button in real life. The gift that God gave you was one life on this earth. And then based on what you do on this earth tells if you get to enjoy a second life of glory or a life of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stories we're not telling our young people anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nope. They're so afraid of talking to them. You know, they jump. As soon as you say something to a young person, they give you a look like, done cut right through you, or they start to raise their voices, you know, because I have several grandsons, you know. One grandson, I had become very proud of him because he made a 360-degree turnabout, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of that, he became a father, got his own place and everything, and now I'm seeing that anger come back out of him again. So I'm back to, James, you don't have to worry about that. James, this is not something you have to worry about. James, you need to do it this way. You need to do it that way. You know, and he got so much anger in him. I'm looking at him like, where is this anger coming from? Because you was doing so fine. You was all right, you know. Now when come to find out, the anger is coming from him getting in a relationship, so young, running and getting his own place and playing house, you know. And now the girl, he's taking care of himself. He's taking care of the girl. He's taking care of the baby. He's taking care of the rent and everything, you know. So now his anger is going towards, I got to do this for my girl. I got to do this for my baby. I got to do this. I said, baby, honey, sit down. Let me explain something to you. And I'm not telling you that you don't have to do this. And I'm not telling you not to do this. I'm telling you, you don't have to do it. I said, the only thing that you have to make sure that's okay and all right is that baby and yourself. I said, now for your baby's mother to be a young mother and want you to go work two jobs and go out here and sell marijuana, you know, I said, she needs to get up off her behind. Your baby almost a year old. She needs to go to work. So the moral to what I'm saying is, they have so much on them that they don't realize, or they take on stuff that they don't have to take on. You understand what I'm saying? So then this become a problem, you know, then get in trouble with the law. Somebody say something wrong and you're jumping out of the airplane and boom, the next thing you know, you're in trouble with the law. You know, so basically a lot of them young men are going through those changes, even the young women. You know, everybody wanting to be grown before their time. And it's hard, mm-hmm. just they really don't know. No. I don't know. Just got to keep praying and talking. You know, I want to always talk. I'm going to talk until God says my time.
What you just said is so true, because so many of our young people, when we speak to them, and I'm not, I don't want to sound like we're just bashing the youth, because we're not bashing
mm-hmm.
the youth.
Right.
Because if we think about it, we were just like that at their
Amen.
Age. Mm-hmm. We didn't believe nothing. Like, in my mind, my mother was never a child. She was grown
right.
when I got here, so she always been grown.
Right.
Even if I heard the stories of her as a child, I couldn't
mm-hmm.
put that in my head because I never saw it. I didn't know that part of her. Now that
right.
I'm sitting here, as a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, I'm sitting back and I'm looking and I'm like, yeah, I didn't used to believe stuff stunk neither until
mm-hmm.
I had to. Don't rush to be grown. You're not going to like it as
Amen.
A grown up. Then everybody get grown and say, oh, I wish I was still a kid.
Yes, yes.
So we really were the same. The difference is, the difference between then and now, I'm going to be
mm-hmm.
honest, it's not the children. The adults them became a bunch of punks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The children dictate to us what we going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The children tell it.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what happened.
And then we sit in amazement going, oh, we just can't do nothing with it. Yes, we can. When they was doing the flash mobs a few years back, what I say? If all the parents were getting their cars with them belts and go snatch their child up
mm-hmm.
out that flash
behind
mob, no flash mob.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she talking about child abuse. No, I'm not. I didn't say abuse your child. I said go grip your child. And to tap that behind up. The law says from
yeah.
the lower back, starting at the curve of the buttocks to the upper thigh, the end of the buttock,
mm-hmm.
is fair game.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't
mm-hmm.
melt it, cut it, scar it, bruise it, fair
mm-hmm.
game. Now, I know somebody going to get all, oh, they want Purpose Kingdom talking about abuse to children. No, we not. We on Purpose Kingdom telling you, go get your child. The
go
children
get your
aren't
child.
Doing
That's
anything
right.
any different than what we did as children. The difference is that when we was children, any adult could correct us.
Any adult.
And we prayed that that adult didn't go back and tell our parent that they had to correct
mm-hmm.
us, because we would get it twice. Now the parents, don't talk to my child. Don't correct my child. Don't tell me nothing about my child. And then we wondering why the world is like it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the children, it's us.
Amen.
Just like when people start
Amen.
Complaining, oh, they don't want us praying in the schools. They don't want us praying outside. They don't want us talking about God. They don't want us to say Jesus. The world ain't never wanted us to do that. What happened?
Never.
Believers in Christ became a bunch of punks. Some early saints was dying for the saving knowledge of Christ. We sitting up here talking about, oh, we can't say Jesus? Okay. We can't pray?
Yep.
Okay, I'm praying my head. We can't sing songs of praise? Okay. No.
Amen.
We're supposed to have the boldness of Christ in us.
The boldness.
The
yes.
boldness of Christ in raising our children. The boldness of Christ in living out our everyday daily life. We are supposed to have mm-hmm. the boldness of Christ, the fear of God, the reverence of mm-hmm. God, the power of the Holy Spirit. So maybe as believers, yeah, I'm going to say it, maybe the problem is some of us need to check our salvation.
Amen.
You hit a big point there because you're talking about Christ, and you know that there's like 12 people that kind of look funny, like, well, you know, that's a lie, and you don't know if this, that, and the other thing. And the second that they do that, they don't even realize that it cuts them off to the blessing of what God actually has done. And people are realizing, like, we're not realizing it, and it's like, there's so many people that fight Christ right now, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost ridiculous. Like, it's scary because it's like, oh, God. And then you're walking around here like you know who God is, like you know everything about this. But the way that you say this is like, oh, you got maybe. But then no, because the Holy Spirit is really leading you. And definitely you're not ignoring it, but you are being defiant to it, basically.
You're being defiant to it, that's it.
Is that what it is? You're being defiant to it, right? Because it's like you actually are breathing, but then you would refuse the breath that you breathe. That would mean you're dead, correct?
Amen.
That's how I ask people. Because, you know, it's that simple to me right now because we need to go to the simplest thing that makes everybody simple, that makes everybody real. Because if we're all a part of the same, we can't hate you that, you know what I mean? Even if you're wrong.
When the Spirit of God moves, if we are in the Spirit and we have the Spirit, you know, when the Spirit of God moves, it moves. I mean, can't nothing and nobody stop, you know? Because, like, let me give you for instance. I don't know if you remember back when I had talked about the disrespect and a nephew that disrespected me, you know, and at this time, you know, he was up and about and whatnot, you know, but nevertheless, you know, he got into some mess and got shot out there in the street, and now he's a paraplegic, you know. But still, and yet, he's Muslim too, you know. But I'm helping out with his getting back to life. And his sister or his mother, one of them was talking to him and was, like, basically telling him about God. You know, and that you just got to pray to God, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, you know, and God will answer, you know. And he looked at his sister and said to his sister, look, you in here disrespecting me, you know I'm Muslim, and you just trying to convert me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But my spirit got the dancing in me, you know, got the jumping, you know, because of hearing it, but because I'm a God-fearing woman, you know, and I say whatever you want to say and however you want to say it. But, baby, let me tell you what my God told me to tell you, you know. And the process of me talking to him, I went to him in a respectful manner, and, you know, I said, look, nephew, it's not that anyone is disrespecting your religion or convert you over to anything. I said, but let me explain to you the God that I serve. The God that I serve is an awesome God. The God that I serve will open doors that you have not seen. The God I serve will make you get out of that bed when the doctors tell you that you can't get out of that bed or that you might not be able to walk again, you know, because you got a bullet lodged in your spine in the back, you know. I said, but you can't make her not speak what she's feeling. You can't make people not speak what they're feeling. Just like you said, you're Muslim, they disrespect me. I said, you just to tell her not to say what she was feeling and how God serves, how she serves God and how he treats her, how he would change your featherweight into a heavyweight, you know. So in order for you to So in order for you to feel what you need to feel it from the inside, and you need to know that what God does for you, you know. And I said, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm not saying this in a selfish way. The God I serve is an awesome God, and the God that I serve will change things over for you. I said, give him a try. And that was it.
And that's scripture. She don't even realize you just threw scripture at her. The word of God says, peace. I love that scripture. I love that scripture because what God is saying is try me out.
Try me, that's right.
Try me out. We always tell children, I can't say they do it now. They used to tell us as children, taste it.
Try me.
See, like, try it. You might like it. Don't just push it away because you never ate it before. Taste it.
That's right.
See what it tastes like to you. And a lot of times if we tasted it, we would like it. It's Psalms 34 that taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. But it starts with taste and see. That's God saying, yo, just try me out. I dare you to try me.
That's it.
He didn't say taste and see and you might like it. He said taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you taste him, you're going to find out how good he is. The part they get me is when they try to tell you that he not real and want to argue you that, oh, how you know he died on the cross? You wasn't there. How you know he rose from the grave? You wasn't there. How you know Adam was real? How you know Moses was real? How you know, let me explain something to you. All the apostles who passed away after Jesus, Peter, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Bartholomew, Matthias, the one that replaced Judas, and the rest of the 12. If y'all go crack a grave, y'all can find, dig deep enough, y'all will be able to find where all of those disciples and apostles and first century believers were laid to rest at. Everybody that came and left before Jesus, including Jesus, y'all talking about, oh, well, where's Moses' tomb at if he's real? Where's Abraham's tomb if he was real? Where's this one's tomb? When y'all find their tombs and find bones in it, let me know. Then you might be able to convince me that God's word is a lie. But the scripture tells me that after Jesus rose from the grave, that those old patriots were seen walking through the streets of Jerusalem because they were a part. They took part in that first resurrection. He rose, then they rose. He brought them back to glory, out of the bosom of Abraham and into glory, into the presence of God. That's why y'all can't find their bones. But this is where I met with it. When they get into, oh, well, how you know? I always give them the benefit of the doubt. You are right. I was not there. I do not know. But I can tell you when I tasted God for myself and found out how good he was, I can tell you what he did for me. I can tell you what for the people he sent me to pray for. I can tell you of the people that he said should be dead that still walk around on the face of this earth today. I can tell you when they pronounced my oldest daughter at birth and pronounced her as dead, she's still here 33 years later. When my 13-year-old grandson was born, stillborn, and we got in that corner and prayed as the doctors was turning their heads, and he took that first breath, not because of what they did, because they had turned away from him, but because of the prayer we prayed. When we called on the name of Jesus, when we called God on his word, what he did for us. They told me 10 years ago to call my family because my mother was leaving here. We sealed that door in the name of Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit, told death he had no place in that room. He killed it 10 years later. My grandmother, less than, it hasn't even been a year. It was earlier this year, back in February, right before COVID. She had a massive stroke on the entire left side of her brain. They told us it wasn't but a matter of time. About 30 minutes after that, and we was in prayer, she jumped up out the bed. She was 99 years old at that particular time, jumped out the bed, started snatching the stuff off of her. On March 9th, we celebrated her 100th birthday, and bless God, she's still here today.
Amen.
So when people go on, oh, no, that how you know it's real? I know what's real to me, what he's done for me.
Amen. Amen.
What
that's it. If he will deliver us, you know, and we just have to, you know, let our testimonies are worth more than gold, you know. And once we get some testimonies out and let them let our people know, our children, our grandchildren, our mothers, sisters, brothers, you know, then they'll see what we see and possibly feel what we feel, you know, because I can't say it enough, I can't express it enough at what he has done for me and how I have came up out of situations and didn't know how I was going to get out of it, didn't know how I got out of it, you know? Even to the point of messing with electricity, no, I shouldn't have been messing with it, and that bolt hit me in the head, knocked me down to the floor. I shouldn't be here.
You better
this
tell it.
This was 15 years ago, you know? All I saw was light. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And by the time I came to and got my stuff together, the screwdriver that I had, putting in there, trying to fix the electric box, when I went to look in the mirror, because I still felt, the, you know, a little headache, when I looked in the mirror, there was a black mark in the top of my head with a screwdriver, just like, boom, bang me in the head, you know? But these are the things that, one of the things that I know that God is real. You know, and can't nobody tell me he's not, you know, even to the point when I begged God, you know, and I went to God and I said, God, it's not meant for me to go to table. He showed me a sign. And within him showing me that sign and the situation that I was in, I heard a cry of a child. The cry of a child was my then 4 or 5 year old son falling on a hot plate. And whatever I was doing, I dropped everything and just ran to see what was going on, you know. And I just held that child, praise God, because I know that had I done what I was getting ready to do, I would have died right there on the spot, because those are the words that I asked God for. If to wait for me, then I promise I will never go back to it again. If I go back to it again, Lord, just take me right then and there. You know, here I am 34 years later with this here testimony. You know, so the God that I serve is real. And can't nothing and nobody tell me no different. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And you know, for somebody out there listening this evening, God that we talking about, he can become real to you. You know, it always makes me wonder why God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And if you break down the word Israel, you get Israel. Who God is real to, the people that God chose to show himself to prove himself through. God can become real to you this evening. You don't have to get caught up on the facade that society is putting out. You don't have to get caught up on the dogmas that the churches put out. God can become real to you right where you are. You can have a resurrection experience right where you are right now. He can resurrect himself in you if you just call out to him, if you're willing to put your trust in him, if you're willing to have that childlike faith. His word tells us, except you come to him as a little child. What does he mean when he says, as a little child, with the faith of a child?
Mm-hmm.
If you come to him believing him on his word, he can become real to you. Those same miracles that you hear people talking about in biblical times, he's still doing them today.
Mm-hmm.
He's still raising the dead. He's still healing the sick. He's still giving sight to the blind. He's still giving hearing to the deaf. He's still making the mute talk. Girlfriend of mine, about a year ago, she has a brother that's severely autistic and was considered, he was considered the mute. He was nonverbal. He didn't even make the noises. And then one day he just sat up in the middle of the living room, looked up at everybody and screamed out, "Praise God." He's still making the mute talk. Why don't we see it the way that we used to? That come back to saints having to check their faith, check their salvation, check their walk. But you can have that opportunity to have a true relationship with them. It's not hard. It's just calling God on his word. God said in his word that he so loved the world, that God so loves the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in or on him, depending on the translation, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You don't have to remain where you are. Whosoever covers every sin ever committed, whosoever covers every ethnic background, every culture, whosoever covers every economic situation. And if you come to him tonight, you can be one of the whosoever that shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And let me explain, you shall not perish does not mean that you will not pass away from this realm of existence. For the word of God says it has been appointed unto man once to die, but after the death comes judgment. That's the place you don't want to perish from. All you have to do is believe God. And if you're somebody out there that's saying, you know what, I want to know about this God they talking about. I want to know about this God that makes them sit back and tell the police, I'm not scared of you because I got God, that can make them sit back and tell Trump, with all the hell you raising, I'm not scared of the hell I see. Even though thousands are falling all around me, I'm still standing on Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You can get there by simply saying this simple prayer. You just say, Father God, I come to you this evening agreeing on your word. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to become a part of my life, to begin to change my life, to forgive me of my sins and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, you just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until church doors are open or Sunday service, Sabbath service, prayer service, Bible study. You can just go tell somebody. If it's somebody in the house with you, say, hey, I accepted Jesus as my Savior today. You can go knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, I accepted Jesus as my Savior today. If you live in the urban city, you can go outside and scream at the top of your lungs, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you live in the rural parts of the country, you can still go out and scream it out that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And according to God's word, once you make that declaration of faith out of your mouth, you are saved. And we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we encourage you to find the Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, that's why God has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. We're going to ask Brother Rob if he can come on and give you the announcements and tell you how you can follow us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, and then we'll be right back in a few minutes. Brother Rob?
Yes, real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the announcements. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where you're at in the world, we just thank you so much, whether you're listening to us via phone or you're listening to us online. Anytime you want to contact us via email, you can email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. Just simply say hello or send a prayer request and gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. We greatly appreciate those that share with their friends and family members. We greatly appreciate that. And if you like tonight's episode, well, God's willing and blessed, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for DPW Ministries, hosted by Reverend Aaron Williams. And once again, with God's willing and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour with DTW Ministries, hosted by Reverend Aaron Williams. And don't forget to tell a friend that we will be broadcasting tomorrow evening. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We just simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And also share with your friends and family members. We just thank you so much. And without any more fanfare, I just want to just let our listeners know that when you call in the 319-527-6091 number, you may get an automated message that is telling you that you will be charged 1 cent a minute. To some, that may be a discouragement, but, we have options that you can do. You can just simply go to the Google Play or the Apple Store, and you can download for free an app called Talkatone, where you can simply feel free to make phone calls free of charge, and the app download is also free. So that is another option. But with that being said, I just thank everybody for listening, and with that being said, I'm going to turn the show back over to the hands of our ladies here.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rob. We are almost at the close of tonight, so we do something here on Let's Talk About It called Take It Back, where we talk about some things that we just want to take back from the world and return it back unto the kingdom of God. Amen. The scripture says that, it was right just on the tip of my tongue. The kingdom, the devil is a liar. That's it. The kingdom suffers violence, but the violent, righteous, takes it back by force. So tonight we are coming to take some stuff back. Sister Adrian, you still with us?
I'm still here.
What you want to take back this evening?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It's funny because a lot of the things that I wanted to take back, we actually spoke on tonight, and that was just about the violence and stuff and bringing back our minds to get back into, saying what we want and doing what we need to do. But really what I really, really, really want to take back is our unity. There used to be a time where we could get out in the streets and play and, have block parties and people would dance and have line dance. That's what I want to take back. I want to bring back our unity, however the white folks did it, because I know they had their way of doing their unity, and then we all bring it back together and it all unites together.
That's what I want to take back or bring it back. How about that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that is something we definitely need in this world today is some unity. Hallelujah, God. What you want to take back this evening?
Well, what I want to take back and or bring back, as you said, I want to bring back our strength in Christ, you know. Because, you know, back then, you know, like you said, the missionaries and the mothers, they were strong, and they went out and they talked about it, you know, and they made them children go to church. And as for me and my house, we would serve the Lord. Those are the type of people that I grew up with, you know, and I just want to bring that strength back, you know, bring that back. Amen.
Dear God, amen. And, you know, the scripture tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where we fall short at. Everybody want to be happy. I don't want to be happy. I want to be joyous.
Joyous.
Happy.
Amen.
Something pleasant happening. But joyfulness, especially God's joy, you know, no matter what is going on around you. And here go the part. When you can get a piece of God's joy, it's not that hard to become unified.
Amen.
For me, I guess my take it back is I want to take back faith. And I'm talking about mustard seed faith. I'm telling you, know, I don't know if people's ever seen a mustard seed, but a mustard seed is very, very tiny. But if they were able to cut that mustard seed in half, you will see that the seed is solid through and through. You can't tell where the shell starts and the pulp begins and vice versa. A mustard seed, one little itty-bitty mustard seed, can fill a whole valley full of plants from one mustard seed because that's how it spreads. I want to take back mustard seed faith, because God's word tells us that if you have the faith the size of a mustard, you can tell mountains to move out of your way. You can tell mountains to go cast itself in the sea. And guess what? If you have mustard seed faith, it's going to go cast itself in the sea.
Yes, it will.
So I want to take back faith. I want to take back real faith. Mm-hmm. I want to take back that type of faith that when somebody gets sick, you don't run to the doctors, but you begin to call on Jesus.
Amen.
I want to take back that type of faith that even when your cabinets is bare, you don't freak out because, you know, God said that he will provide for you. He's our Jehovah Jireh, so you're not sitting there, oh, my goodness, what are we going to eat? You just say, Father, and he show up and take care of it. And don't think that I'm talking about something I don't know. I've seen him do it. He's done it for me. So I just, for me, it's faith, Mother Janice. It was strength for Sister Adrian. It was unity. And the funny part is you need all three of those to bring about. You need faith to bring about unity. You need faith to bring about strength, the strength of the Lord. You need unity to bring about faith because you have to be unified in the belief of Jesus Christ and of what he has done for you and through you and what he's going to do for you. So as we take it back this evening, ladies, do y'all have any last words as it's time for us to close out?
Just stay strong, stay in the faith.
Amen. Sister Adrian? Sister Adrian, do you have anything, any last words? Okay, I think we might have lost Sister Adrian. Okay, and for me, I'm going to say, for me and Adrian, she said that the strength, I'm praying for faith and unity, for strength. We are touching and agreeing right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Come blessing and praising your name. We thank you for your encouragement that is going forth this evening, your word that has gone forth this evening, your wisdom that has gone forth this evening. Father, you heard what we declared that we want to take back in the name of Jesus. We ask right now, Lord, that you will release a spirit of joy amongst your people, for your word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So as you release your joy, we can become stronger in you. We ask, Father God, that you release a spirit of unity in the name of Jesus so that your people may unite in the name of Jesus against the tricks of the enemy, against the wiles of the devil, Father. We ask right now, Father, that you will release a renewing of faith, a strengthening of our faith, a growth of our faith in the name of Jesus, that we will begin to just walk in your word, speak your word, call your word, begin to call those things that are not as if they are, remembering that we walk by faith and not by sight in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the souls that came to you this evening. We ask right now, God, that you will strengthen them, encourage them, put a hedge of protection around them in the name of Jesus, that you will send your saints to them, to them, and to teach them in your word in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask that you will keep us in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will strengthen us in Jesus' name, Lord, as we poured out for you this evening, that you will pour back into us a thousandfold. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Know that we love you. UKN Kingdom citizens, we love you with the love of Christ. We are praying for you. We are touching and agreeing with you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all, and we'll see you tomorrow night right here at 9 p.m. for DBW Ministries with host Reverend Aaron Williams. God bless y'all. Good night.
Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.